People have assumed for years that getting divorced or even separating meant you had to go battle things out in family court. That is not the case. Family court is not the best option for many people. It can lead to results they don't want. Going to family court means turning over important decisions about your family, and more importantly, about your children to a stranger, the judge. And for certain people and in certain situations, that may have undesirable results. Parents are often disappointed with the results for their kids. There are other ways to resolve matters. Negotiation, mediation, arbitration, and collaborative practice all represent ways to stay out of court. How to know when those alternatives represent better options is the topic of this 60th episode of the Ontario Family Law Podcast. I'm John Schumann, a certified specialist in family law in Ontario. I'm also a mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer. This podcast is a companion to my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on the iBookstore, Amazon, Kobo, and in fine bookstores. Going to family court can be a risky decision because it involves giving up a lot of control and engaging in what is usually a very expensive procedure. Once in that process, separated spouses and parents often feel that they are stuck in an escalating financially and emotionally draining battle with no way to get out. Some spend hundreds of thousands of dollars before they can find a way out. Until then, it seems like their ex is forcing them on, making things more difficult, and the litigation system requires them to fight more and more. The court process is adversarial and very stressful. Parents and former spouses lose control and have to hope that the judge makes the right decision. But just participating in that process can cause people to make bad decisions, which causes the judge to view them badly and compounds the problem with more bad decisions. In fact, the very circumstances faced by people in family court can cause them to make the decision to go to court, which can itself be the wrong decision. Oh. Divorce and separation are already an emotional time. People are angry and upset. Then court adds stress to that. When that happens, it's difficult to make good decisions. Everyone, including children, have a comfort zone, or sometimes called a window of tolerance. Inside that zone or window, people function normally and usually make decisions based on logic and reasoning rather than emotion. Outside of that zone or window, people, including children, are uncomfortable. And the more uncomfortable or the more stressed or the more escalated, the more the part of their brain called the hypothalamus takes over. The hypothalamus is in the brainstem and looks after very basic functions. It has nothing to do with rational thought, although it does have links to emotion. The response to stress in the hypothalamus is often called a fight or flight response. This is a basic animal response, and it provokes a person to do the most basic things in response to stress: stay and fight or run away. When someone is stressed or emotional or both, the hypothalamus controls the brain with often some undesirable responses. The hypothalamus is critical to the survival of almost all animals, not just people. When the brain perceives a danger, a quick response is necessary. Without a quick response, the brain might find itself eaten or injured or otherwise in trouble. So the hypothalamus has to make a quick decision, run away, or stay and fight. But in stressful situations, especially ones where the logic center of the brain is overwhelmed with information or choices, that basic animal center of the brain makes the decision. So people who are already under stress often make choices to fight back or run away and hide. In the forest, when confronted by a bear, the jump to those decisions can be life-saving. In separation, divorce, or family court, those same decisions can be disastrous. A person who runs away and hides instead of trying to address the situation logically can either give away too much or be seen by the judge as uncooperative and punished. A frequent example of this is when a separated spouse is faced with a massive request for financial disclosure. That can be terrifying and overwhelming. Rather than stopping for a moment, calming down, and coming up with a plan, many separated spouses who are already on edge and stressed out instead take the instinctual decisions to take flight, meaning that they just shut down and do not do the task of getting the disclosure together. The other spouse and the judge often perceive that as being uncooperative or thumbing a nose at the court, or even worse, intentionally hiding financial information that shows the real situation.
Oh.
If the other spouse thinks their ex is hiding something, that can make him or her mad. Now that ex, who is already stressed by the separation, also is driven by their hypothalamus to fight, perhaps bringing a contempt motion to have the other spouse thrown in jail, or perhaps to find a way to retaliate. So that leads to an attack and an expensive motion. Of course, when the other spouse gets that motion, it causes more stress, and that spouse makes a fight or flight decision. Either do nothing again, which caused the situation in the first place, or fight back instead and retaliate. Then the whole situation explodes. That situation I described was just about money. Things get even more emotional when the kids are involved, because both parents love their kids and cannot stand the thought of losing them. Getting one's parental rights trampled, even though there are no such things in Ontario law, makes parents mad. And again, they choose to either fight or back away and hide, while at the same time showing the kids who was right. That can lead to some very tense situations and bad decisions, except when the kids are involved, the decision often don't wait until the parents are in court. They happen right there at the pick-up and drop-off, or at the hockey game, or at the school, or at the birthday party. Then the kids are exposed to their parents fighting, an experience that research shows is very harmful. It can also lead kids to think that they have to take sides. When a child takes sides, the parent on the other side feels that their child is being poisoned against them. That can lead to a very big, nasty fight, often in court, with some very undesirable consequences for everyone. Sometimes those kids lose both parents. Even the very initial decision to go to court can be one that is made in the brainstem rather than by a person's logic center, and that is not a good way to make such an important decision. In the stress and sometimes anger of the situation, suing your ex can feel really good.
Oh,
running
yeah.
away rarely feels like the right action when your ex has wronged you. Taking your ex to court seems like it's going to be great to show them and have a judge tell them that they are wrong. But just starting a court case involves many steps that I went over in previous episodes, and it costs several $1,000s. Judges rarely believe one separated spouse was completely right and the other one completely wrong. In fact, judges don't like it when separated spouses make decisions that are not based on careful, logical reasoning. In fact, not acting reasonably is one of the specific grounds to punish a separated spouse under the family law rules. Keeping the opposing party off balance, disoriented, or under stress through a barrage of letters, demands, and even motions is a litigation tactic that many aggressive family law lawyers use. The idea is to push the other spouse into making quick emotional or brainstem-based decisions that are usually poor choices so that the aggressive lawyer can point out how unreasonable or perhaps how crazy the other party is. When in normal situations, that person is really quite nice and a reasonable person. There are situations where going to court quickly is the right thing to do. In situations where someone's safety is in danger, such as in domestic violence, child abuse, the abduction of a child, or where a parent is preventing a child from having any contact with the other parent, or even in situations of mental health crisis or substance abuse, gaining the powers that only the court has to provide protection is absolutely necessary. In some situations where an ex is doing something vindictive financially, such as withholding all the money and forcing the other spouse or children into desperate circumstances, spending all the money offshore or gambling it away, then it can also be necessary to get the court to use only the power it has to correct the situation. But as many people found when access to the courts were restricted due to COVID-19, many other situations are not so dire or so urgent that going to court quickly is absolutely necessary. In those situations, you will know you have a good family lawyer if he or she slows things down for a bit to go over your options and ask you to spend some time thinking about them so you can figure out which option will work best for you.
Oh.
A good family lawyer will try to stop you from making those hypothalamus fight or flight decisions and instead give you the opportunity to make the rational ones to determine what is best for you and your children. Judges sometimes do that too. While there is often talk of how important it is for family law litigants to have quick access to the court system, where the matters do not really require urgent court intervention, some family law judges will slow things down, give dates that are farther away, and give the party some time to think about their situation, consider their options, and try talking and negotiating. Those judges realize that quick access to another court appearance, a motion, or a trial can put stress and pressure on the parties that makes them revert to that brainstem decision, making where escalating the fight or running away and hiding seems like the only options, even when neither of them is a very good choice. Separated spouses are usually much happier when they have had the time to think about their situation and their options thoroughly, talk over the possibilities with their ex, and try to work them out. That is the whole basis of collaborative practice, and when a neutral intermediary would help, that is where mediation works. There are a few more things we know from psychology. One is that acknowledging someone else's feelings, even without sometimes especially without confirming them, can calm a situation. People are put at ease when someone else understands what they are going through and seems to be factoring that in, even if that other person is not pandering to those emotions. So the simple measure of telling your ex that you understand what they are feeling can get both sides back to working with their rational brain and making good decisions. And when it comes to kids, making decisions that are in the children's best interests. But you will never hear someone in the heat of battle at court say, "I understand and appreciate what you are feeling." Oh. Court is all about proving that you are right, not acknowledging that there is some validity to what the other side is feeling. Which leads to another psychological principle. People respond much more positively to positive reinforcement than to punishment. So that action of getting the judge to impose a harsh punishment that makes it clear which side is right often only leads to resentment, and the person who was punished looking for opportunities to get the other side punished. But rewarding someone for doing what is right, which is something that the court has virtually no power to do because courts are based on the exercise of coercive power, can get a person doing what is right and what is needed without also getting that person to also look for opportunities for revenge. Mediators, because of their role, can be in a very good position to compliment and encourage people to be cooperative and do what is right. I do a lot of court work. It is absolutely where I make most of my money because, to be frank, court cases take up a lot more time and legal fees than do mediation or negotiation cases. I specialize in the complex and difficult cases that need court. Is it because there is some sort of emergency or someone needs to be protected? Or in situations where the parties are acting calmly and rationally, but it is necessary to have a judge decide how the law applies to a specific situation because it is not clear, and having that issue determined resolves the dispute. But going to court is not right for most people after separation. Being under pressure and stress leads to decisions based on whether the clearest path is to fight it out or run away. Usually the person making the decision would be better off thinking it through carefully. Interestingly, teenagers use their hypothalamus to make a lot of their gut decisions. So when separated spouses or parents are making decisions under extreme stress, they may be making decisions like a teenager, which is probably not the best situation. Working as a mediator, collaborative lawyer, and sometimes even as an arbitrator, I can see how separated spouses can come to better results when they can think logically and rationally and are not driven by emotions, fear, or stress. If you are under a lot of pressure or if you are someone who makes bad decisions under stress, then court may not be the right choice for you. It likely is not the best choice for your children either if the litigation process puts you on edge and makes you always jumpy or stressed or causes you to have difficulty coping. But running away is likely not the best option either. The best option may be to avoid court from the beginning in favor of other options or try to steer your spouse into one of the alternative dispute resolution options. In fact, the 2021 changes to the Divorce Act and other family laws require separating spouses and parents to consider ADR options and rule them out before going to court. Decisions made in the heat of battle are often not the best decisions long term. If you need some general family law guidance, or you need to understand Ontario family law matters better so you can make better decisions and have your separation or divorce work out better for you or your children, get a copy of my book, Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law. You can access it immediately on the iBookstore on Amazon for the Kindle version, or you can download it for Kobo. Amazon can deliver the paperback version directly to your doorstep. You can also get a lot more Ontario family law information on www.schumannlaw.ca. Not only are there hundreds of pages of family law information and links, but there are links to where to get my book and links to reach out my office to meet with either me or one of my colleagues. Because it is always best to get a lawyer who can give you expert advice that is specific to your situation. If you can't get through on my website, call me at 416-446-5847. In addition to my website, keep up to date on family and children's law issues by liking my Facebook page, following me on Twitter as @SchumannFamLaw, and finding me on LinkedIn. You can get the audio versions of the Ontario Family Law Podcast on all major podcast services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. They are also available at www.schumannlaw.ca. Of course, please subscribe to my YouTube channel and hit the notification bell to keep up to date. Thanks for presenting this podcast. We will get together again soon.